your favorite cartoon characters will help you understand how drugs and alcohol can ruin your life. So watch the program. Talk about it with your family.
Make the right
special presentation with Mike and Ethan, or
Elf will not be seen tonight.
Once again, we have one of our favorite now repeat guests joining us for a something with now repeat guests. Wait, that didn't work out as well as I thought it would. Much like the actual specials. Ryan Estrada is here. Say hi, Ryan.
Hello. Once again, I've brought you something with legal ramifications. I think that seems to be my niche on the show.
Yes, you're the you're the equivalent of a personal injury lawyer for copyright.
Well, but it's actually legal to watch this thing, unlike Popeye. Yeah.
They didn't really care if you did, but it's legal to watch it if you want to. You know? Not like they didn't advertise it or anything. They honestly didn't really care if anyone watched it as long as it got out and there was a paper trail showing that it had been shown. So tell us about your influence on the internet. Well, how you learned about the Dick Tracy specials.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason we started discussing this is that a couple years ago when they released the most recent one, I just posted on Twitter and Facebook or whatever. Like, do you guys know about this weird thing? And then I got a bunch of answers. So I just muted it. And then recently I started seeing it pop up in my own feeds, like copied and pasted. And I went back and looked, and apparently this thing has gone more viral than anything I've ever made. And I had no idea.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. It's just like so many, like those, you know, those Facebook and Twitter things that just copy and steal people's content. They all have it on there as their own. And they don't even bother to take, like I said, this week it premiered. They don't even bother to say this week, take this week out. But I've just been fascinated for a while about these, and you know, the most recent one came out last year. For the people that don't know what we're talking about, so in 1990, of course, as you've discussed on the show, Warren Beatty made a movie called Dick Tracy. In order to do that, he bought the rights to make a movie. He wrote it, he directed it, he starred in it, and then came out, tripled its budget, and he's like, hey guys, when are we making another Dick Tracy movie? And they're like, I don't know about that. We're actually thinking of just making a TV show and hiring someone else. And that single slight made Warren Beatty so angry that ever since 1990, he has been on this campaign to use a legal loophole to keep anyone else from doing anything with the rights by, in his contract, of course, I think it's probably like every 15 years, he has to make another Dick Tracy project or else he loses the rights. So he's like, screw you. I'll make another Dick Tracy project and I'll make it the worst thing in the world. And I'll make it for like $8 and we'll air it in the middle of the night on Turner Classic Movies with no announcement. And then legally, that's a sequel. And screw you, I own Dick Tracy forever. And he just did another one in 2023, which means it's if you add 15 years, that means it's still his until 2027 when Dick Tracy falls into the public domain and anyone can make one.
Oh, I can't wait to see what we all do with public domain Dick Tracy.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if it's as good as what we did with public domain Little Nemo. And I heard you guys love that movie.
It was fun enough, yeah. Little Nemo was already public domain when they made the anime movie, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
No? Wow.
Well, yeah, this copyright lasts a long time. Thank you, Sonny Bono. So these specials, so are these actually aired on television or were these just put on the web?
No, television. These are on TCM at like 3 a.m. Oh, wow. Or something like that.
Okay. I guess Ted Turner must still have some pull with TCM. It still has his name on it, but
I have to salute the level of pettiness in this, because it's absolutely kind of amazing, you know, especially like in these days when you hear so much about studios screwing people over, you know, it's like, it's so nice to see Warren Beatty, you know, getting one over on him. He's made two of these so far. He has to make one every 15 years. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, what's interesting is the first, well, it must be 20 years because the movie came out in 1990. The first special was in 2010.
It was 2010? Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then the most recent one came out in 2023, so he did it 13 years later. So I don't know if he just, like, he had seven more years, he could have waited, but he's just like, let's do it again. Like, I don't know if he's like, what if I die of COVID? I want to make sure they don't have it. Or like, hey, now we're allowed to do anything on Zoom. Why don't I just bang one of these out now and give me some, I don't have to go into a studio in 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, this probably felt like going into the future for him, because even as Tracy, he said that Zoom was more amazing than anything his wrist radio could do. But in the comics, the wrist radio has been evolving a lot over the years. It acquired a camera in like the 70s or even earlier. And since then, they keep adding new stuff to it. I think it has like a 3D printer now. I don't know. But, you know, it's really important that Dick Tracy's one superpower not be something that everybody has in their pocket.
Yeah, if he doesn't have the watch, he's only... Oh, he's got he's just the raincoat. He's just the raincoat man then.
Yeah, they should build the watch into the raincoat. Oh, wait, no, that just makes him Iron Man. I don't know. How do you do this?
What fascinates me about these two specials is that it's not that they're bad. It's that there are so many choices that it seems like he's purposely making it like bad, like trying to get digs in. Like, screw you. You don't want to make what I want to make? Then I'm going to make this instead. This is what you're getting. Is that what you want? Like, some bean counting whippersnapper that said something rude to him in 1991, he's still getting revenge on that person to this day.
Okay, that does kind of explain what was going on in at least Dick Tracy Zooms In, because the first one, I think it's just called Dick Tracy Special. I don't think it's got like a subtitle. That one seems fairly normal. It's like, Dick Tracy is real and he's giving an interview about his portrayals, assuming Dick Tracy being a real guy, and that Chester Gould decided to make a comic strip about. And I've already forgotten the name of the actors that played Dick Tracy. Cobb or something.
He said them over and over again. Maynard something or other. Maynard G. Krebs is Dick Tracy.
It's like there's two guys and then Warren Beatty. And he just kind of discusses how they're different portrayals. And that one seemed, you know, pretty normal. The second special, Dick Tracy Zooms In, I could not figure out what was happening in that one. I felt like I was losing my mind in real time watching it. It looks like everyone involved in it feels the same way, to be honest.
Yes. I think like that one demonstrates a certain, you know, a certain self-awareness on Warren Beatty's part, where he's like, this is just going to look like an old man muttering insanely to himself. So let's make sure to cut back to the other two listening to me in dead silence every once in a while and have them look at each other like, who is this old man muttering to himself? Why are we listening to this?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the way that the balance between the two of them, how they work, like you said, the first one feels like a bad, like it feels like something you'd do as a DVD bonus feature. Like at the end of a long day, and they're like, oh, Warren, we got to shoot this. And he's like, all right, whatever. I'm tired. Let's just get it over with. It feels something like that. But at least they're like thinking about how this fits into the world. One of the things that fascinated me is how he says that he was 107 years old, which is a tiny bit of thought, because normally, like comic strip characters, like Popeye, they'll be like, it's Popeye's 80th birthday, or like it's Garfield's 30 whatever birthday. Like they count from the beginning of the strip. But of course, in the beginning of the strip, they're not a baby. It's not the first strip isn't them being born, but like they're just.
In fact, the second Garfield strip gives him his birthday.
So you got him. So what he did is he's like, well, in the first strip, Dick Tracy looked what about like 34? Mm-hmm. And like did the math. of how old he would be if he were in the first strip.
I mean, you gotta give it to Warren Beatty. He really likes Dick Tracy. Gotta be the world's the biggest Dick Tracy fan, because I don't know any. I've never met
is
any.
Is there anything that you love that much that you would go to this much trouble to protect copyright on?
I mean, if I own the copyright to anything, I would definitely. Especially do since
he
this
seems
petty.
To like love all like, hey, why don't we have another one exist? But yeah, I mean, and then what I was saying, like the first one seems like there's like he has something to say, and the second one really seems to be like a parody of the first one. To like, wait, you guys didn't think that was serious, right? Like no, this is I'm purposely like, because like literally the first 6 minutes of the second special is them watching the first special. And yeah. Making gross faces. And fast-forwarding through the stupidest line over and over again. They keep, like, goes on a rant about pomegranates in the first one. And in the second one, they just keep rewinding and playing the pomegranate bit over and over again to be like,
pomegranates,
did you think that was serious? I was talking about pomegranates.
Yeah, because in the first one, Dick Tracy, he mentions that pomegranates are part of the diet that allows him to look so good at 100-plus years old. Pomegranates and blueberries, apparently.
Yep. Yeah. No one ever got hurt by our friend the blueberry. Stares in Violet Beauregard.
Yeah, I was gonna say that line is like that line is very exploitable, clipped out of context.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first one, because it's Leonard Maltin who is interviewing him in the first one. And this is the first time I've seen Leonard Maltin in like what 20 years? So That was kind of a trip to see him. Like, oh yeah, it's the guy with the bad movie opinions.
Yeah, Leonard Maltin. He doesn't look a day older than he did when he appeared on Mystery Science Theater.
Wait, was it actually him or wasn't that Mike Nelson as like our host?
No, it actually was him. He appeared on the which episode was it? Was it Hobgoblins? I forget. It was one where they had him on because he had actually given this movie a good review.
That's Leonard Maltin for you.
Yeah.
He's, you know what, but good on him for sticking to his opinions, you know?
Yeah.
He loves terrible movies and good on him. He's not like that other reviewer who you can bully into like changing his opinion, you know, like Siskel or Ebert. When one of them was like, Star Wars A New Hope sucks, and everyone yelled at him. He's like, actually, I meant it's very good. And it's like, you sell out. Anyway, but Leonard Maltin has integrity, so that's why he's appearing in this Dick Tracy special, I'm sure.
I mean, the man was nearly killed by gremlins. Give him some respect.
Yeah.
he's earned his time in the limelight here. But yeah, the first one is Leonard Maltin gives us like a kind of a history of Dick Tracy. And then the interview is Dick Tracy talking about like, I like this portrayal of me better, this portrayal. And he mentions he's not too fond of the Warren Beatty version of himself, which, you know, is a little bit of self-deprecation there. And I got to say, like, I mean, you can see why Warren Beatty was such a heartthrob in his day, because he does have this very easy charisma that comes across even as Dick Tracy.
You can see why he was up there with Harrison Ford at the time.
Yeah. I mean, even in the Dick Tracy movie where he doesn't exactly act, he just is there. So that's, I think, is there anything? So the first one, I mean, what is there? I'm just curious. Is there anything to say about the first one? Cause it feels, you know, when I watched it, I was like, okay, yeah, this is what I'd expect.
Yeah, the first one feels like an introduction to Dick Tracy for everyone who wasn't there.
And I was going to say, what's weird about the first one is that, like, if you take out, like, all the Leonard Maltin narrating and like, side bits, Warren Beatty answers, like, three questions. And then it's like, I got to go. But it's clearly they did not have him on set very long. And with the rest of it, it seems like they filled a lot of time with, like, here's who Dick Tracy is. That was probably made in post afterward. And then there's a lot of just like bits with people that work at the studio that were clearly not written. And it's improv written by people who don't, or done by people who don't know how to do improv. And so they're not making jokes. They're just like, oh, Dick Tracy's coming. I'm so excited about Dick Tracy coming. And you can see them like trying to yes and each other, but like, they don't know how to make jokes. And so they're just insulting one another and talking about how, like, they want to have sex with Dick Tracy, basically. The 106-year-old man. And,
yeah, I was just...
And then it's incredibly weird, the makeup lady that they keep cutting to. Like, she never has a line, but the very first shot of Leonard Maltin is a close-up of, like, his nose and then, like, her breasts filling the screen. And the next time you see her, Dick Tracy walks in and she's, like, adjusting her breasts like a cartoon character. Like, if you're, like, acting something out to animate for a cartoon character. And it's, those are the only two things she does in the entire special.
I wonder if this was Warren Beatty's current girlfriend. Actually, I have no idea who he's married to now, if he is.
That's right, because that's why Madonna was in the actual movie, wasn't it? Because they were dating at the time, or was it
just I forget if they met on set or what, but yeah, they were dating for a while, and he also performed at her concerts. Not that he's like a singer or anything, but he would, like, I don't know, ad-lib something while she was performing.
Did he do the Bullworth rap?
Unfortunately, I did not get tickets to that tour, so I don't know.
The other weird thing about this first one is that they like, one of the people he's screwing over by doing this is Disney, because they distributed the film. Like, mostly, right. King Features is getting the short end of the stick here, because they own the rights and they would be making money if they could make anything. And I'm sure they're not making any money off of these specials. But, like, so he's kind of, this is kind of a pot shot at Disney, but it was shot at the Disney studios. So, like, yeah. did he tell them what he was shooting, or did he just, like, does he have an office there, or did he just, like, book a conference room and not tell them?
Yeah, was it shot at the Disney studios? Because all I really see is a security van with the with that weird spiraling D logo. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say Disney; it says D.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, did they just get a sticker and put it on a car? But if you look at the credits, it was shot at Disney Studios in Burbank.
Oh, shit. Really? Wow.
The pettiness runs deep. This is that's pretty glorious. But, you know, it's subtle, too, because, like, it sounds like there's a lot of little, like, jabs that, like, the average viewer, for whom there is none of this, I guess, because, like, this is not intended to be viewed by anyone, really would not pick up on these things.
This is all in, like, jokes. Which ones? There are jokes, yeah, in there that Warren Beatty thinks are the funniest thing in the world, and no one but him will ever know that they're there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this that feels like, I guess it's like, I don't know it's not so much a joke. I guess I've heard this sort of thing described as, like, joke-like material. It feels like it's supposed to be a joke, but it's not. The one that I noticed was when the one lady wants, like, an autograph for her grandmother, and he's like, I don't sign things, but tell your grandmother I said hi. And it's like, I'm not sure. And I was like, is that a joke or a reference, or is it just supposed to be character development? What is that?
Nobody knows. Not knowing where these characters are going, we have no clue. And then they don't go anywhere. There isn't a big finale where we see the grandmother. So
I'm not sure. It's kind of a mystery, but, like, I thought, like, oh, maybe Dick Tracy is known for not signing things. Is that, like, the deal? But I think it's just part of the lore that it's like, no, he's not a celebrity. He's a cop. So, you know, so he's like, he doesn't have time for this Hollywood signature type bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like, you know, the original Dick Tracy followed the success of the first Batman movie, or not first, but the 1980s Batman movie. And now in the second sequel, he keeps talking about how, you know, the way he's describing what it could be sounds like Dark Knight. So I think he just wants to make Dick Tracy follow other, like, superhero movies. So maybe he's just, like, he saw that Tony Stark has a thing about not taking things from people's hands. And he's like, what is Dick Tracy's bit going to be?
Oh, actually that kind of, that's beginning to make a little more sense. Like, he was setting stuff up for the sequel, man. So Dick Tracy, so Leonard Maltin ends up, you said, like, asking him three questions, and I think one, it's basically like, which Dick Tracy do you like the best? That's kind of all they talk about, really. I was expecting, yeah, he was gonna ask, like, who's your who's your biggest villain that you fought or something? Tell us about Flaptop. How's he doing?
Didn't come up.
And then he asked him, did you ever consider being a criminal instead of a cop? And Warren Beatty's like, fuck you. Don't you dare ask that question.
I mean, that is, you know, that is an appropriate in-character response because, you know, Dick Tracy is, you know, what is it? He's kind of the platonic ideal of a lawman. You know, he was born in his yellow trench coat. So the very idea that he would ever consider being a criminal is you know, anathema to him. But it's also very funny.
It's like asking Mickey Mouse if he ever considered being a cat.
Yeah. I do like it, though, because it's like, just like the, at some point in Dick Tracy's life, he sat down and he was like, you know, it was like cop or criminal. Which way, Western man? You know, like a meme.
And he flipped his coin.
He really wants to like put, like, it seems like he still has ideas of what Dick Tracy should be in his head from when he made this movie. And like, even though he doesn't care about anything else, like he cares about who Dick Tracy is. Cause like there's that line where they ask him about Warren Beatty and he's like, I don't really care for him that much. He's a, you know, he's one of those soft liberals or whatever you call them, like bleeding heart liberals. And I'm conservative. It's just like, he's had to put that in there to be like, I know who this character is. I'm not just being myself, guys. I'm playing a character.
Yeah, no, that's true. That was kind of an interesting little bit put in there. But yeah, he's like, look, I'm acting. I am acting. No. I'm an actor. Don't forget that.
I don't know. A conservative cop? I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you wouldn't think it, but Dick Tracy, you know, he, as he says multiple times, you know, fighting crime is serious. It's a serious thing. You got to take it seriously.
Does crime pay, though?
Oh, yeah. Actually, according to Warren Beatty's movie, it does pay. And I think that was one of the problems that Dick Tracy had with it, was the insinuation that crime could actually pay. You know, there's a whole musical number about it, as Dick Tracy points out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in the second Dick Tracy special when he zooms in. So, I don't know. I really want to talk about that one because that's the one where I feel like things really go off the rails.
But, I'm wondering if one of the reasons that he made it is because he, like, you know, after the first one, the story was, like I said, you know, he's doing this out of pettiness so no one else can make one. And I think he wanted to come back and be like, no, I want to make one, guys. Let me make one. Because the whole thing he's talking about, like, I could still make, like, the man has not directed a movie since 2016, and that's one I've never even heard of. Rules Don't Apply. The last movie before that was 1998. Like, what is he, like, it's not like he's, like, a regular movie director. No one will greenlight this one film. Like, the man has not made a movie, but he's like, look, it could be, like, Dark Knight. Like, it'd be serious. Like, not all the color. But he's like, but I'm going to say it in character.
So he basically paid to put his pitch for the sequel on TV.
Yeah, but it's like...
A form that makes a Dick Tracy project seem unwatchable. He's going to pitch what he would do, what I would do instead of this unwatchable piece of garbage.
It is very strange because, like, at least to me, because I was not really a fan of Warren Beatty's Dick Tracy movie. I thought it wasn't very good, but that was because, you know, the script was kind of all over the place. There's too many bad guys in it. Warren Beatty is just like not really acting and has no chemistry with Madonna or with Tess Trueheart. You know, he's playing Dick Tracy. I mean, he's, I guess, accurate to the Dick Tracy character in that Dick Tracy is the least horny man in existence, but it just seems very weird that there's two love interests in the movie then. But anyway, that all that stuff, I'm kind of like, okay, these are problems of the movie. But the one really good thing about the movie is that it looks like a cartoon. Like, that's actually really interesting about it. And he's kind of making the pitch that it's like, okay, you remember how that one thing that was memorable about the Dick Tracy movie? We're not going to do that this time. We're getting rid of that. But
he seemed to feel really embarrassed about the whole thing where you see Tracy punch seven guys out with the same fist at once. And I guess, you know, I never really interpreted that as literally happening, honestly. I thought it was all just sort of, you know, vibes. I never know during a montage like that what's real and what's just, you know, this is how people are feeling right now.
Mm. I mean, it is very, you know, it is deliberately cartoonish. So they kind of blur the lines a little in that. And it didn't bother, that didn't bother me in watching the film. I thought, like, you know, that's kind of par for the course. You'd expect it. And that's kind of the fun of the, of this world that he's built. But you know, it's not like, it's not a style that caught on with superhero movies.
No,
as we've seen, darker and grittier and kind of more realistic, I think, are the way that it's gone.
I would I would say that the Shadow comes close to threading the needle there, because it's dark and gritty, but it's also kind of got this kind of Dick Tracy feel.
I mean, I think the, you know, the original Batman, you know, the Tim Burton Batman had a little bit of this cartoonish feel as well, though that's probably just, you know, Tim Burton being Tim Burton. It's the, it's a house, Tim Burton house style, not so much Batman comic style. And, you know, there was the Ang Lee Hulk, which really tried to do kind of a comic theme. It had weird like panels on in the like the on screen, so everything's happening in panels, and it's like, oh, I get it. And then I fell asleep in that movie, so I apparently it didn't do much for me, because I saw the movie. Like,
it feels to me like not that he's embarrassed, because it's weird watching this, because there's so many layers of like, what is he acting, and what is he acting to be a metaphor for, and what is he really feeling, what is he like saying that he doesn't want to admit. But it's like, it feels like, not that he's embarrassed by what he did, but like, he did it, he was proud of it, but then like, nobody else would let him make another one. So it feels like deep down, he's like, what's wrong, guys? You don't like it? Well, you think it's too dorky? Like, well, I could do it. Like, you know, I mean, I was coasting off the old Batman, but like, what about the new Batman? Like, I could make it like Batman Begins. It could be all dark and spooky. Would you guys like that? Would you pay me to do that? I could do it. And it feels like that's what's deep down inside. But he's like, but I'm gonna be cool and self-effacing about it. And so it's like watching a man, like, it's like the weirdest pitch session. That's basically like an ultimatum. It's like, I picture it like the Green Goblin being like, here's your choices. You could either pay me to make this this Dick Tracy movie, or you could have this forever.
yeah, you know, that makes the most sense of everything, because it is, like you said, such a weird, there's so many weird layers going on here that it's really hard to get kind of a bead on like what's going on, like who is the, like, are we supposed to be, is Warren Beatty in this kind of the voice of reason, or is Dick Tracy? Who are we supposed to be like siding with? Because it's strange.
It now, really comes across as a sort of, you know, I'm not owned.
Now, the second Dick Tracy special, Dick Tracy Zooms In, the basic premise is that Ben Mankiewicz, I think is his name.
Yes. Ben Mankiewicz. Yeah,
Mankiewicz.
Yeah, weird Ben Mankiewicz.
Yeah, he is a TCM host. I never heard of him, but I guess he must be big. He's on TCM, so but he gets contacted by Dick Tracy, who wants to be on his show. Mankiewicz, who has no clue why Tracy wants to talk to him, calls up his old pal Leonard Maltin and brings him in as, like, you know, to help make some sense of what's going on. And both of them are completely like perplexed about what is about to transpire. And like when they're looking at, they're just watching that pomegranate bit on repeat and going like,
pomegranate.
Yeah, pomegranates, yeah,
that,
you know?
The opening scene is so much trolling.
Small, like, portions.
The very first line is when Ben Mankiewicz says, as you know, I did a Zoom with Dick Tracy. And it's like, no, we don't know that. This was a fictional thing that was announced in the played in the middle of the night with no announcement. And then he goes on to say, and he tells you exactly, as you know, it says it all. And so today we're going to play the clip where, and then he repeats everything he just said. And I think they must have done it like four times before they like got into the special. He introduced the special by repeating that same story four times and then cutting to him like talking to someone else about the exact same story. Dick Tracy wants to Zoom with me. Then he calls in Leonard Maltin, tells the exact same story again. We're at like the seventh time they've told the story. Yeah. And then for literally six minutes of screen time, they watch the same 30 seconds of the previous special over and over again, silently. And then they interrupt only to repeat the same thing two times. The first time they cut to him, they speak and they say, "What do you think he wants to talk to you about?" "I don't know. Maybe he wants to correct things about the first one." They listen to Pomegranates eight more times, cut back to them, and he goes, "I wonder what he's coming to talk to you about. I don't know. Maybe he wants to correct something he said last time." It's like, that has to be trolling. That has to be purposely like, let's make it very clear this is supposed to be bad.
I almost feel like because I believe Warren Beatty went in front of a judge and was like, I got a judge to rule that these count as Dick Tracy projects, and therefore he's got the legal rights. So I wonder if like the judge was like, okay, they have to be like 27 minutes at least. So it's like, all right, we got to eat up that much screen time. So just keep asking, why is Dick Tracy coming? Where's Dick Tracy?
Whenever Dick Tracy isn't on the screen.
On screen, you should keep asking.
Now, what I like is how showing all this old footage from 13 years ago, we see, you know, Leonard Maltin with Dick Tracy. We get good and used to Leonard Maltin. And then Leonard Maltin comes in 13 years older, like, behold the ravages of age.
I was actually like so excited when he showed up in this one, though, because I just assumed he wasn't with us anymore. Because, you know, I just remember Leonard Maltin from, like, you know, when I was a kid reading that big Leonard Maltin's movie guide in the school library during lunch break. Yeah. And, you know, getting mad because he had, you know, gave the bad reviews to all the movies I liked. And so I just assumed, oh, he's got to be like, what, 200 years old? He's not around anymore. And then he just walks out. I'm like, oh, my God. It's him! The Maltz man is back! So,
if you listen to Doug Loves Movies podcast, he's a regular on there. You'll hear him playing some games.
Oh, really? Okay, I guess I'm just out of the loop. I assumed he'd probably retired or something, but I guess it's good that he's still around.
He's only 73.
He's a podcast guest now, so hey, get him on the show.
Oh, yeah! Let's do it, yeah! Shit! Be like, what are we wasting time with you for? We should have gotten him!
Yeah.
I'll just be like, Mr.
Would you like me to zoom him in right now? Like,
yes.
Yeah. After I've spent the last half hour talking about like what terrible taste in movies he has, I'm sure he'll love it.
He's a critic. He's used to hearing that.
That's true.
Look, okay. This is a story I haven't ever told anyone. We had a local film critic that we were just like, oh, this guy sucks. This guy has the worst opinions in movies. We disagreed with everything he said. And then while I was working at the movie theater, my brother comes in and I'm like, oh, I didn't expect to see you tonight. He's like, actually, I've got a date. And I was like, oh, really? With who? And he names our local film critic. I mean, tale is tale. So
what was the movie?
I think it was Dr. T and the Women.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Interesting choice, right?
I would not even know I've heard the title, but I know not even enough to make a joke about
That's just like a really loose guess. It was probably, you know, there are a lot of things that was happening. I worked at that theater between 2000 and 2002. And all I remember is that was the year that that particular film critic, don't want to name names. Also, not sure if I can remember his name anymore. He gave like a D- to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I was like,
wow.
Wow. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is another movie that's like, you know, it's like Dick Tracy in that, you know, they're going for a cartoonish effect. You have, you know, these cartoonish hillbilly characters literally drinking from jugs that say XXX on the side. Everyone is dressed like they're in Snuffy Smith. And, you know, that's part of the aesthetic. But he was like, this is so unrealistic. You know, maybe he has family down south. I don't know.
I do remember a weird thing happening with Coen Brothers movies when I was a kid, because there was that movie, I need to remember it fast so I can tell the story quickly so I can get back to Dick Tracy. It was
what year?
It was Fargo. Fargo. Okay. Fargo. So Fargo came out. Y'all are too young to remember this, but like it came out and all the critics lost their mind about they love Fargo. Oh, Fargo's the greatest movie ever. Oh, it's so good. And I was like, all right, well, I better go see Fargo because everyone's saying it's so good. And I went to see Fargo with my family and we watched it like when the Simpsons were watching like Garrison Keillor on TV, where we're just like, be more funny. And afterwards, we're like, what the hell is that? And I think the critics, like, they all love Fargo, but everyone, all audiences were like, we don't get it. And so then critics are like, oh, yeah, well, now we're mad that we look stupid. So we're going to pan every Coen Brothers movie after this because they all hated The Big Lebowski, which came out after it. And, of course, that's a Stone Cold classic. Everyone loves The Big Lebowski.
Everyone sure does.
Yeah. But the critics, they all, like, were like, oh, I don't get it. It's not funny like Fargo. Fargo's not funny. I mean, whatever. I don't know. I'm a big Fargo hater, so I don't know how you guys feel about it, but
I've never seen it all the way through. I've seen some good clips, but
I guess it is better than Dick Tracy. To get back to the topic at hand. So Dick Tracy, he does finally zoom in though, and it's interesting, I think, because it turns out the reason he wants to zoom in is because he had seen an interview that Ben Mankiewicz previously did with Warren Beatty. In the interview, Warren Beatty said that he would be open to collaboration. And Dick Tracy is like, I thought that was interesting because I didn't think he would be open to collaboration. That was kind of weird because it's like, okay, but why did you contact Ben Mankiewicz then rather than Warren Beatty? Because now that you've established this fact, which Ryan, like how they say like eight times, I don't know why he's here. They repeat the fact that Warren Beatty is open to collaboration being a surprise like 900 times.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have to set up this amazing third act twist that they're like setting up for the reason they don't get along anymore. And they keep building up the story like it's going to be this amazing reveal. And it turns out like, oh, I was busy and the restaurant didn't pass along the message. Like that. They have not spoken since 1990 because of this horrible incident that occurred.
Yeah, they do build it up because like Dick Tracy refuses to talk about it. He's just like, we don't talk anymore. You don't talk anymore? No, we don't talk anymore. Well, why not? There was an incident. What was it? It was a thing. And then at the end, it turns out what they were supposed to have lunch together at, you know, the Pimento Grove or something, you know, some Hollywood restaurant. But Warren Beatty flaked out. But it turns out that he had called ahead to, you know, warn Dick Tracy, but the restaurant didn't, you know, pass on the message. I'm repeating now what Ryan just said because in the spirit of the Dick Tracy special, but that actually reminded me a lot of. It was so fun. That was really funny because I was like, oh yeah, if you ever watch any of those kind of. You know those direct dumpster Christian films that keep coming out that are like, you know, like made, they're all made by like weirdo studios, like, you know, Nails of the Cross Limited or whatever. but you know, they have all these movies, right? But they're like, okay, we can't have any conflict in the movie because that would be imitative behavior. We can't ever have anything like interesting or happen that would like, get all the blood, you know, angered up in our audience. So the plots will all be based on like incredibly simple misunderstandings that then get resolved in like a minute at the end of the movie when people just explain it to each other. It's like, oh, that's fine. So it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. This is exactly like that.
TV Tropes describes that as an idiot plot, but I mean, that's way beyond idiot. That's one cell organism plot.
Even like when they get to the twist, you know, what actually happened. It's not even like, oh, the twist was I didn't flake out. Like I sent a message. I was at a different restaurant. I actually wrote the script that you know, I actually took your changes and I put them in the script and then you didn't show up. It's not even like that. It's like, no, I did flake out. Just you didn't get the message.
But I guess that's enough for Dick Tracy because that ends their like decades long feud and they decide to collaborate. But I think, also, it's fun because the bulk of the special, once Dick Tracy has arrived and explained that, like, you know, his reason for being there, being that he is surprised to hear that Warren Beatty is open to doing collaboration. That's when he's like, okay, well, let me explain, you know, why I don't like Warren Beatty's film. And then they just show clips from Warren Beatty's Dick Tracy movie when Dick Tracy going like, look at this. Oh, that's okay. No, look at that. Look at this. For what? Like 20 minutes.
It's like the worst episode of Mystery Science Theater ever.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, here's something's happening. No, look at, there's another thing happening. I don't know.
That's not so bad. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. That's good. I don't like that.
Reminds me of one of my favorite movies. I have never seen Conan the Barbarian without commentary. But Conan the Barbarian with commentary is one of my favorite movies ever made, because you have Arnold and John Milius watching the movie going, look at that. I remember that. This part is cool. Oh, yeah. This is the part with the chopping of the head. That's just cool. And they just do that for the entire runtime. And it's so good.
Oh, I'm moving that up to the top of my queue. Wow.
I mean, that I did not know. Once you know it, it's like, I don't know how you would live without that. that is probably the perfect commentary for Conan. What else is there to say?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is your dad for an hour and a half.
You know, it is actually kind of funny because, oh, you mean my dad specifically?
No, I figured everyone's dad did this with like, hey, watch this. It's cool. And, you know,
okay, I was about to say, this is exactly Dick Tracy in this movie is doing. I actually thought when I was watching, I was like, yeah, this is just what my dad does when we watch TV, you know, where he's just like, whoa, look at that. Wow. Things like he's just astounded by, you know, the fact that things are happening on the screen. You know, the technology is so exciting. And I love him.
And my favorite lines was, look at that guy. Remember that guy? I'd see him on set and he'd be flexing. 2 hours.
Man.
2 hours.
I mean, you know, why wasn't there, you know, why don't more movies have bodybuilder commentary?
Man, it's a real disappointment. They've never made any commentary tracks to the Barbarian Brothers films.
Yeah. Yeah, they can at least do twin sitters.
Yeah, I bet those guys have a lot to say.
Wow.
Or did. Yeah. I don't think they're with us anymore, unfortunately.
Really?
The Barbarian Brothers? I think one of the Barbarian twins is no longer with us.
Oh, really? Oh, he should team up with the remaining member of Milli Vanilli. Oh, wait. No, the other one died too. That's not sad.
Oh, well, time moves forward. All right. So we've got these clips of Dick Tracy kind of being like, look at that. Look at this. And then, but here's the interesting thing. Leonard Maltin quietly picks up the phone and makes a phone call. And so it's like, oh, something is happening here. Something's being set up. There's a little bit of intrigue in this this thing. Even Ben Mankiewicz kind of looks at him like, what's going on? And you got to wonder, like, what's going to be, what's going to happen? What's going on? Who could it be that Leonard Maltin is calling? Wouldn't you know it, it turns out it's Warren Beatty.
I'm disappointed. I was hoping it was going to be Flat Top.
I mean, Flat Top presumably is also real in this
presumably
world.
They didn't actually kill him on screen in the movie.
That would be even funnier though if it was like yeah, you know, it wasn't a stunt, we it was a documentary filmed in real time as it happened.
He did mention at one point that the comics made up all sorts of like wild weird fictional villains with weird faces, and reality crime isn't like that. So like in the world of this, Dick Tracy is just a perfectly ordinary cop that does not have any weird villains.
Yeah.
And just there happens to be a bunch of movies based on him that make up weird villains.
Boy, no wonder okay. Batman ate your lunch.
Yeah, that actually makes it okay. So basically, in this world, we find out that Chester Gould is like, "Hey, I heard there's a cop. This is very unusual. I'm going to make a comic strip about this cop." What does he do? He probably just, I don't know. He probably does like, you know, I don't know. He what does a cop do? Like, hassles homeless people, I guess, mostly. Yeah. And Chester Gould is like, that's not exciting enough. We got to make some, we got to put some freaks in this. And Dick Tracy has just been the whole time, like, all these years being like, I don't really like that. That's not serious.
Hey, Flat Top's head was nowhere near that flat.
Mumbles actually was very eloquent. So.
Yes.
So, because, yeah, then Warren Beatty shows up. Everyone awkwardly kind of is like, what am I doing here? What's going on? Where am I?
Honestly, that's my favorite part, because it's just the bewilderment on everyone's face is so real. It really does feel like, am I being punked? What's happening? Even though I'm sure this is all scripted.
Isn't he on the same black backdrop as Dick Tracy, or am I misremembering that?
No, he's in his own home.
Okay. So probably the same sofa with the black curtain taken down.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it is. Warren Beatty, I do love how incredibly just baffled he looks throughout this.
They both do. Both of them. Boy, I gotta say, the first thing I thought of when I saw both of them, both Dick Tracy and Warren Beatty out of the Dick Tracy outfit, I was like, Trump? Two Trumps?
Oh. I actually thought he looks pretty good for a guy who's what, like 85.
Yeah. I guess it shows that Trump looks 10 years older than he really is.
Yeah. I mean, Warren Beatty is like, you know, he's holding together, you know, but I'm sure, you know, he's a Hollywood guy. I'm sure he's a lot of work done. But yeah, he's very confused. And like, I think again, it's like, hey, you know, Warren Beatty, you wrote this. So he wanted to, like, look, I need to make sure everyone knows I'm acting. So I'm going to act incredibly confused by everything, because clearly I'm not. I wrote this. So I know what's going on. But Dick Tracy kind of makes his case for what he wants. And it's, again, he shows, I think, the same clips again. And
yeah,
he's all like, look at this. It's pink, red. There's too much color. I don't like, it's not serious. It's pink and there's too much red, and it kind of goes on for a while. You know,
what
I guess,
like, is when they start showing the black and white footage from the other ones, and he's like, oh, look at that. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Look at that. Yeah. And speaking of Trump, it made me think of the tweet about how Trump wanted to watch the Gorilla Channel. I like how you hit that other gorilla. It sounds like he's encouraging the actors that they're like, yeah, get him. Yeah, punch that guy again. Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, he's got that special old man watching television energy that all old guys have, where they're just like, they just get really into it.
Bruce McCulloch wasting $1 million again.
Well, there was the line in the second special where he said, you know, I'm coming back because I didn't explain myself well last time. And I thought, this time, since we're on Zoom, I can even, like, instead of just describing things to you, I can play you clips from the movie. And he proceeds to play the exact same clips he played in the last special.
Yeah.
This is not something new, sir. We're doing the same thing again.
Oh.
And you're making the same commentary about it.
One thing that I wanted to point out in the first special, I forgot. There's a part where they're actually talking about the history of other comic strips, and they talk about the creation of Batman and how it was inspired by Dick Tracy. But that part is a cutaway. You know, he's speaking live the whole time otherwise, but when it comes to Batman, he says, when Bob Kane and Bill Finger created Batman. So I'm like, somebody must have gotten on his ass about including Bill Finger in there, because he probably just said Bob Kane the first time. Have we come to the end? Is there more to this?
Say the very fascinating thing, the one thing we haven't talked about, is the very end of the second special. Now, we've done this whole special. He's been on a Zoom call in a black backdrop, and he's gotten away with it. He has not had to leave his sofa to film this entire special. But then they're like, we're going to do a little bit extra, and we're going to cut to Dick Tracy and Warren Beatty having that dinner at the restaurant. And you cut to them sitting together with the most obvious split screen in the middle, don't cross your hand across this line, like Parent Trap original black and white version level thing. And it's so now let's go a little bit above the Call of Duty and do this, but then let's not like time it out so it looks like they're having a conversation. Let's just both flap our mouths open back and up and down and like look at each other so it's clear we're not having a conversation. We're both talking at the same time. So your assessment goes down, but then they do that. Do you guys know the expression bumping the lamp that came from Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, when they did Roger Rabbit, there's a scene where like Eddie Valiant and Roger Rabbit are like trying to get the handcuffs off and Roger bumps the lamp. And then when someone from the studio came and like, why did you just bump the lamp? That's going to bump the budget up like $1 million because someone has to hand draw the lighting changing. And they're like, that's what it's all about. We need these little moments of like, I can't believe you went above and beyond. And they do that by having a man walk past the window in like a bellhop's uniform behind them. They didn't have to do that, but they did. And then it's so badly done. Like as soon as he crosses his head, like pops up an inch high, you know, an inch higher on the screen. So it's like you went above and beyond to do it and then didn't do it well.
Yeah, it's a study in contradictions, this special. But I mean, at the very least that meeting, because at the end, Warren Beatty and, cause Dick Tracy is all like, would you consider like, you know, collaborating and just making it serious? And Warren Beatty kind of like is doing this extended long silent glower. And then he's just like, yeah, that's great. I love it. I want to do it. And then it's like, oh, I want to fake out. I'm glad that they're going to be partners on this. And then they have the lunch. So it's implied that they are going to collaborate on a new Dick Tracy movie. And this time we're going to get Dick Tracy's actual version. It's not going to be like some Hollywood liberals version of Dick Tracy. We're going to have the actual Dick Tracy behind the camera calling the shots. So something to look forward to.
That's the idea of comic strip characters directing their own movies. Wow.
Very excited for Dick Tracy, whatever. I mean, I don't know if he's. I know he's kind of pitching, you know, a new idea. I don't know if he's actually planning something. Dick Tracy did say, like, "I want someone younger to play me." So,
do you think that what they were pitching is the thing that we just watched?
Well, I think this should get a theatrical release.
Yes. Yes. This is. You know, this is right up there with, Peter Falk is the grandfather in The Princess Bride. You know, it's the perfect wraparound.
Well, so Dick Tracy zooms in. Do we have any final thoughts about Dick Tracy today?
I mean, the final thought is, no matter what you say about this, legally, it is a Dick Tracy-based product.
Yep. So yeah, did it have to be a television program or did it have to be something, you know, a visual arts thing? Could he have made a Dick Tracy branded orange juice and just said, yeah, I'm using the character. You can't have it.
Well, I mean, I think that King Feature still has the licensing rights. It's probably like the same deal that the reason that they made that. Fantastic Four movie that was never released.
Oh, just right.
Every
right.
certain number of years, something has to be made, an filmed adaptation of that has to be made, and probably it's the same thing. He probably didn't have to release it, but he's like, screw it, if I'm making it, I'm gonna put it on TCM. You know, and he's not probably like that's how he gets it paid for. Like TCM is like, I don't know, we'll throw in a couple of bucks to make this, whatever.
I do kind of think it would be funny if he just did not release these, because then you'd have like, you know, you'd have thousands of people on the internet just like demanding, you know, release the, you know, the Beatty cut or something. And if you tell people they can't have it, they're going to want it. They're going to go insane. And then when you release it, they'll be like, they'll have to convince themselves that it was good and worth it. So, so yeah, he didn't do that. He just released it, and so everyone's free to say that it sucks, which it does. But it gets the job done. It's like you said, it is a Dick Tracy project, and they Dick Tracy will, Warren Beatty gets to keep the rights for another 15 years. So good on him. And after that, we can all draw like Dick Tracy and the Sky Pirates or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have a question. If it hadn't done the job, if Warren Beatty had never made the first special in 2010 and he lost the rights and then they were available for sale again, what do you think would have happened to Dick Tracy? Would Chris Pratt be playing him right now or on a Disney Plus
Chris Pratt.
original series? I'm not saying we want to happen. I'm like, what do we think would have happened in the...
No, you know, they probably... No, someone would have bought them, I think, and you would get Dick Tracy, but they'd be like, okay, no yellow raincoat, no fedora, no wristwatch, no wacky villains. We're going to do it like, you know, Dark Knight style. Well, not even Dark Knight, like Superman v. Batman, you know, where everything is really depressing. And also, we're not going to call him Dick Tracy, you know, because we'll call him something else, just like...
Plainclothes Tracy. That was his original
plainclothes, name. Plainclothes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, they probably would. They would do something like that, and they'd be like, see, we're going back to the real original. Real heads know. You know, they're just really plainclothes Tracy. And then, like, I don't know, they'd probably get, like... I don't know, who directs all those movies? Zack Snyder or something? They get some like fashy dolt to like do it, and and then they can fire him halfway through and bring in Joss Whedon and have a big fight over it or something. Actually, you know, I would like to see Joss Whedon's Dick Tracy, because it would be full of incongruous quips, and Dick Tracy could like kill Flat Top and then like turn to the screen and be like, well, that happened. So I'm really sold on that idea now. So
yeah, and Tess Trueheart would just kick so much ass. She'd be doing, you know, all kinds of acrobatic flips in midair, you know, and there'd be the scene where like her eyes go black and run with blood as she's gunning people down or something. Or maybe I'm confusing him with Uwe Boll. I'm not sure, but
I mean, they're, you know, I mean, it's all one big stew.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I think would have happened if he hadn't made this and the rights had reverted back to King Features, and they decided they wanted to work with Disney again, then we would have gotten Dick Tracy instead of Gargoyles. And I think that would have been a much better interpretation, just as, you know, Batman the Animated Series is arguably a lot better than the Tim Burton Batman movies, and definitely better than the Schumacher ones.
Yeah, I can see that. I think, though, more recently, if they were trying to do Dick Tracy things right now, we actually might get just a series of, direct to Netflix computer animated Dick Tracy films, very much like the Marmaduke films that we've looked at.
Yes, and the pretty poor Netflix original Transformers series, you know, all meant to do one thing: break the backs of the voice actors union.
Oh, is that what they're for? Do they use AI voices or something?
No, I mean, they just use the voices of people they've got floating around the office, apparently.
Oh, well. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little.
You think you don't like Neon Genesis Evangelion now? Wait till you hear the new Netflix dub.
Wow, that's saying something. Because like I'm very capable of. You don't know the heights to which I'm capable of not liking something. Anyway, Ryan, thanks for joining us to look at Dick Tracy. It zooms in.
That's right. That was what we were talking about. Thank you very much. Thank you for, we should say that Dick Tracy did something more noble than, you know, anything anyone could have guessed. Something much more reasonable than Warren Beatty was looking toward. And that's to bring you further fame, you know, and I think you deserve it more than Beatty does at this point.
Well, yeah, I'm so glad to be out there all over the world, uncredited, with people pretending to be me talking about a thing that came out last week that came out a year ago. It's brought so much good to my life.
This is what they mean when they say the internet never forgets, except for the important part.
Ryan, actually, while you're here, is there anything that you want to plug? Although you've probably got wider reach on your own platforms, but.
As I'm Ryan Estrada, I'm a cartoonist. I make comics. You can check them out at ryanestrada.com. The one that comes out in a couple of weeks is called Student Ambassador, The Silver City, and it's kind of an adventure story about monsters in a Mexican mine and solving the mystery of that. And I got another book coming out called No Rules Tonight in October. That's a sequel to my book Banned Book Club about my wife being hunted down by the police for reading banned books in 1980s Korea. And I make all kinds of stuff. And I mean, just not something I usually promote, but since we're on a show about comic strip adaptations, I also, with Axer Ennius, the artist of Student Ambassador, we also recently collaborated on some upcoming Garfield comics for the Boom.
Yeah.
The Boom tie-in to the what I'm sure is going to be an amazing, now that I'm financially connected to it, Chris Pratt movie. which I have read the script for, as I mentioned now. And I will not make any public comments on it. I'll say my Garfield, my parts of it, I think, are very fun.
But also,
I don't get any royalties if you buy it, so I'm not, like, telling you to buy it. I'm just saying it's cool that I got to do it.
You don't, you don't get any royalties? What, they just gave you $500 flat or whatever?
Wait, do I get royalties? I don't know. I got to check my contract. I don't know.
So maybe buy the Garfield comics. Maybe.
Maybe.
And if Garfield doesn't like the lines that you put in his mouth, then, well, maybe he'll do a special where he interviews you about it. That'll be funny. Just a silent cat sitting on Zoom for an hour.
He's like, I really didn't think that Ryan would be open to collaboration. I'm just really surprised about that.
Now, look at this. Right. Let's watch some Garfield and Friends. This is good.
Garfield say this? Lasagna this over and over again.
Well, now I'm looking forward to Garfield Zooms In. I think that's the Garfield media that I most want now.
Garfield Zooms In sounds like an actual CGI movie that Jim Davis would have made in the 2000s.
It does sound like the fourth leg of the Garfield's Pet Force trilogy. Now that you mentioned,
yeah.
All right, well, Greg, we're gonna like lathe of heaven this into existence now. So
oh no, okay, I'm just gonna turn my brain off before that happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ryan, again, try to get a job
making the official Nathfield comic. I'll bet I could get the job.
I bet you could write it better than he would.
Last time when we spoke about Garfield, I just about lost my mind in the split second I thought that like you had worked with Nathan Masser on Garfield. Because I was like, no way. Ryan's met Nathan Masery. I need to know. But yeah.
I don't think Masery is still working with Garfield or Paws Inc. at this point. I think he's kind of,
not at all.
And you know, he's kind of in that stage where he's like, I don't need you anyway. I've got my own fat cat, except he isn't fat. And he's basically he doesn't eat lasagna.
He's pulling a baby at this point. He's making Nathfield out of spite.
You're right. He pretty much is. Unfortunately, it looks like he licensed Garfield to do a restaurant. So I guess maybe in order to keep the rights to that, he has to keep making every 10 years, he has to make a Garfield restaurant so that he can maintain that right. But, you know, it doesn't have to be like a good one. So it's going to be like, you know, in 15 years, we'll get like, I don't know, there'll be a pop-up taqueria that lasts a day or something. you know.
They'll make the Garfield equivalent of dumb Starbucks.
Anyway, he's still out there. He's still doing his thing, Nathan Masery. I think he's switched to Scooby-Doo for a while, but it didn't stick. He didn't have the passion.
I wouldn't have been able to do it for Scooby-Doo either. It's Garfield or nothing. Come on. What other cartoon character eats? Don't give me Scooby-Doo. Come on. One more question. Just one last question to finish us up. Do you think that when Warren Beatty was under 12, he was frequently referred to as Master Beatty?
I would 100% believe that.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think there's a 12-year-old in existence who wouldn't go for that joke.
It's not even a joke. That's just how you address someone who's under 12. My grandparents used to send me letters to Master Ethan Boschman at, you know, Seabright Avenue.
Well, isn't that fancy?
Yeah, so like boom,
dear. Yeah, my grandparents didn't do that. They call me Zuckerplätzchen, which is just German for nonpareil, because I liked them a lot at that age.
And here I thought that children were supposed to come up with weird nonsense nicknames for their grandparents.
Well, it was a different time.
Yeah. Well, I'll remember to bring some nonpareils next time I see you.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't. I don't like them now. They're terrible.
Oh, you don't?
They're the worst kind of candy. But my parents still get me every year. I'm like, oh, thanks. Oh, I love you. They mean well. Anyway.
Thanks for talking dick with me.